We will look forward to what the Lord has tonight for us. We're great to have Josh and family with us in Rustico for the last 3 weeks, and I just was thinking one day that, you know, it would be great to hear what the Lord has been doing in their lives over the last number of years, and time flies so quickly, and we tend to lose touch a lot of times, and so it's great that he'll be able to share. And I kind of feel tonight that I just wanted to do something light, kind of like more of a devotional style tonight, and maybe something a little different. I shared some of these thoughts in Summerside last Sunday morning, and we had some laughs, you know. And you know what? It's good to have some laughs, isn't it? It's good to have joy. It's good to just enjoy God's word. You know, the last month on PEI has been something that we would never have imagined. And, you know, tonight what I want to do is I just want to take a few minutes and I want to share some lessons I learned from Fiona, okay? Lessons that I have learned from God's word from Fiona. And there's a few lessons that I've learned. I don't know what you've learned, but I know that I've learned a few. And who would have ever thought, you know, when you watch that little radar for 4 or 5 or 6 days and, oh, sure, the thing pointed over PEI and you kind of like, oh, yeah, right. You know, that's always moves anyway, and then every day it didn't move, and it's still like, that's not going to be a problem. That thing's going to move off to the right or the left, and we'll miss it and stuff. And who would have ever thought we would wake up to what we woke up to that morning, right? We would have never imagined. I remember we normally sleep in our trailer in Rustico in the summer, and I just said that night, I'm not going to do that. And we have an old building called the Old Church, and that is a tank. And on a foundation, and if my wife hadn't called me at 2 a.m. to tell me a tree fell on their house in Charlottetown, I'd have slept through the whole thing. And so I woke up and looked out in the yard, and it was just really unbelievable. Like, and it was just really, really unbelievable the change that can happen in such a brief period of time. So let's turn our Bibles first to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Hank, did you label these waters, or we'll just figure it out? James chapter 4 and verse 14. Sorry, verse 13. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for your grace upon our lives. Oh, Father, where would we be tonight without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? We thank you, Father, without you, we can do nothing. And we just ask your hand upon us tonight, Lord, as we share from your word and share what God is doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we all have lots of plans, don't we? School plans is one of the big plans. Early in life, isn't it? We plan to go to such and such a school and go there and do such and such a thing. We have career plans. We have ministry plans. We have lots of plans, don't we? And there's nothing in the Bible that says that we should not plan. It's good to plan. It's good to be planners. It's good to have projects. But you know, there's sometimes a very key phrase that we often forget to use in our plans. And that phrase is, if the Lord will. And you know, when something like Hurricane Fiona sweeps in and disrupts our lives and disrupts our plans, we're reminded of these things. That, yes, we plan to go and build this project or take on that project or go about and do this project if the Lord wills. Because, see, folks, there's a lot of hurricanes in life, isn't there? Not just the Hurricane Fionas that come through, but there's the hurricanes of sickness, isn't there? There's the hurricanes of broken relationships that sometimes come out of nowhere. There's the hurricanes that just so many different crises and brokenness that can come into our lives at any time. And so there's one thing, you know, that we all love. We love consistency, don't we? We love the same thing to repeat itself out often, time and time again. We don't like change. But you know what? We can't change the fact we don't like change, because change just keeps happening, doesn't it? And sometimes it's small, and it doesn't really affect us a whole lot. And then sometimes it's overnight, in less than 24 hours. And people's lives can be totally turned around and turned into a different direction. It says in Proverbs 19 and verse 21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. There are many plans in a man's heart. The NLT says here on verse 14, for what is your life? It is like the morning fog. You know what the morning fog is like on PEI, right? You wake up and you can see over the hills and vales, you're in Oyster Bed or Rustica or whatever, and that morning fog is there, and then all of a sudden the sun comes out 2 or 3 hours later and it's gone. Well, that's our life, isn't it? Your life, it says, the psalmist said in Psalm 90, is like a tale that is told. And sometimes I look back and I start to think of the last 20, 30, 40 years of my life, and I just think, it's just kind of like a little story, isn't it? Even though maybe a lot has happened, it's like a tale that's told. It's like the morning fog. It's like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So James admonishes us. He said, you ought to say, instead of saying, as in verse 13, I am going to go into such and such a city. Now here he's referring to Jewish merchants. I'm going to go to such and such a city, and I got plans for the year. I'm going to buy goods. I'm going to sell goods. I'm going to make some money. And this is what I'm going to do, but only if the Lord wills it to be. And you know, in the last month, there's a lot of things have changed in the lives of a lot of people just because of one little storm. And maybe you've had some other different kinds of storms. Maybe it could be an accident. That can change a person's life pretty quick, can't it? Maybe it's a financial setback. Maybe you had an expectation in a relationship and it's over. That can be pretty tough. So just remember, this is not just a cute phrase that we need to add on to our conversation, and I don't think we need to be repeating it every time we talk about future plans, but it needs to become part of this here, right? In our hearts and in our minds as we seek to go about our business, there's always that mindset. Lord, if it's your will, this is what's going to happen. So this leads me to a little section on guidance, and it leads me to the thoughts of disruption. You know, we do not like disruption, do we? I think COVID was an incredible example of how much we hated disruption in our lives. And yet, there are many things that disrupt our lives and put us into a tailspin. You know, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Even the disruptions of life, right? Now, this is not a Christian quote by any means, but I remember, and it's certainly not in the Christian context, but there is something to be said for it. One of Obama's closest counselors told him during the mortgage crisis, I believe, in the U.S. in the 2008, he said, don't waste a good crisis to get something done. And you know, there is an application there to the believer Because a lot of times when crises and difficulties and challenges and hard times happen in our lives, we shy from it, we resist it, we see it as negative. And yet, you know what? I've learned over these last few years, and again in this storm that we just had, that God uses the disruptions of life to lead and guide us in our decisions. Now, you could take, there's probably lots of stories of people who have dated and they thought, wow, this is the right one. It's just the right one. I just know it. And other people said, oh, that's the right one for you. And as the relationship evolved, it kind of turned out that for one person, they figured out it wasn't the right one. And it got broken off. And that's like a hurricane. That's like a disruption. That's like a lot of pain. Only to find out that a year or two later, the right person did come along for them. So there's often in the painful things of life that God uses to help us. I can think of, it's kind of funny, out in Rustico, there's this clump of trees, okay? And it's exactly where I want to build something, okay? It's just right there. And they're kind of like sacred trees, okay? Like, you know, what sacred trees can be like in a family. Those are trees you just don't touch, right? It's best to leave those trees just the way they are. So anyway, when I woke up that morning, those six of those big seven trees were laying on the ground. Now, it was a mess that I would have been nicer to kind of bring them down probably one by one and cut them up accordingly. But you know, I just kind of sat there, and you know what I could see? I could see the project that I've been thinking about for 5 or 6 years. And I could just say, look at that. Maybe, Lord, you're moving faster than I realized. You know, he just kind of over a little one night and a little breeze, there you go, buddy, clean her up, get moving, right? So, you know, God disrupts our lives, and sometimes we're not ready for those disruptions, but he is often ready, and sometimes we are slow. We often say God moves slowly, but sometimes, you know what, God moves fast, and we're the ones that are moving slowly. Sometimes it's the opposite of what we think at times. So I think of the whole COVID thing, and boys, oh boys, that was a disruption that God allowed. And how did we respond to that as individuals? Did we see that we could use this to think differently about how we do things and how we live and how we function? And did he not use that to move the course of history around in the greater scheme of things? He sure did. So God uses these disruptions. Now we come to John 15. Let's turn to John 15. This is just a great little passage in John 15 about pruning. And you know, pruning is hard, right? We've been doing a lot of pruning lately because some of the trees are partially down, and so Mark gets his pruning thing out, and he goes along and he prunes the branches, right? And here in John 15, we have the great pruner, God the Father. And he's talking about his son, the Lord Jesus, and about us. In John 15, he says, I am the true vine. That's Jesus Christ. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So here we have this upper room discourse. Just before the Lord Jesus was going to the cross, he refers to himself as the true vine, and we are the branches. We receive our life because we are connected to him, right? But yet, our branches get stuff on them. Maybe it's like, I remember in Florida when we were at Word of Life, and they would go out and they would get their machines and they would clean the moss off the branches so the branches could grow. And you know what happens in our lives, folks, is that we get moss on our branches. It could be sin. It could be indifference. It could be coldness of heart. It could be conflict with another brother or sister. But the moss gets on our branches, and then God begins the process of pruning those branches. Sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? And you know, it's interesting that after this storm, a lot of people just wanted to get everything cleaned up. And some of the people from the different nature trusts and environmental people on the island said, well, some stuff you need to leave it be. Nature will look after itself. The storm will bring forth new growth. And you know, it's often the storms in our lives, the pain we go through, the challenges we deal with, that bring forth new growth in our lives. Because in John 15, there's three levels of fruit. Okay, the goal is in the pruning is to bring forth fruit. That is the goal the Lord Jesus has for our lives. So there's fruit, and then he says in verse 2, he says there's fruit, then there's more fruit, and then as the purging continues, he brings forth much fruit. He wants you and I to bear fruit for him. But it hurts to be pruned, doesn't it? We got to be pruned sometimes from the cares of this life, don't we? We need to be pruned sometimes from the areas of our lives, the sin, it says, that so easily besets us in Hebrews. Because we can only function if we receive our energy from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I think that verse 5, that last part in verse 5, is so crucial to every believer's life, but particularly to type A people. Now, I know this probably, everybody here is pretty spiritual and they've got over their type A-ness, you know, but I don't think so, you know. And, you know, I think that type A people are here to help the type B people learn patience. You know that? I'm thinking a lot about that lately, but I'm convinced, right, that I have been a gift to my wife to teach her the patience that I've taught that woman. It's incredible, right? So the thing is, here's a little something I think for the type A's, okay? The end of verse 5. You let this sink into your system, please. Because the type A's, we really feel like the world is not, it will not continue on without us. It's that simple. Let's just put it out there, right? Let's just put it out there. We're performance oriented. And here's what Jesus says, Without me, you can do nothing. You get that? You got to get that. You got to grasp that. You've got to let that soak into your being. Without the person of Christ living his life through you, everything you do is just like it says in Corinthians, wood, hay, and stubble. And we don't want that for our lives. We want his life to be lived through us. So we have the uncertainty of life. We have the disruptions of life. We have the pruning of life. All of these things I've learned through this hurricane. And then I think I'm going to finish with this one here to give Josh lots of time. The persistence to carry on. Do not quit. When you are being hammered with the hurricanes of life. You know, when I was a teenager, and that's going back 40 years now, at the Green Gables golf course, there was an old guy there working on the golf cars, and he would say to me, he'd say, yard by yard, life is hard. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. I thought, that's a funny little cute phrase, isn't it? Now, you know, these little phrases aren't all true in their total simplicity, but You know, there is some truth in that statement. I think of the words in Galatians 6, 9 and 10 that says, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not." And you know, I was thinking of Nehemiah on that wall. And we don't even need to turn there. You can read Nehemiah later. But in Nehemiah 4, he's on the wall. And the people are getting discouraged. Because, well, first of all, it says the work was half done. And you know when we want to quit? When the job's half done, isn't it? That's when we really want to quit. We don't, at the first part of it, wow, we have enthusiasm and passion. Then we run into roadblocks and we run into difficulties and we run into problems. And it's just like, that's when you want to quit, is when the work is half done. And the mess of the walls, there was much rubbish, it says in Nehemiah 4. All those broken pieces of bricks and mortar all around the city. And the people had been working night and day. And now they were facing oppression on top of the work. And Nehemiah says to them, "Guys, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord," he said, "who is great and terrible, great and glorious, great and awesome. Remember the Lord." You know, when I stepped out that morning and began to assess our property, and there's up to 40 trees down, there's just a mess of stuff, branches and limbs all over the place, the power's out, the shingles off roofs, there's pieces of metal hanging off the sides of the roof, and it kind of reminded me maybe a little bit of what the walls of Jerusalem looked like. And here's the things that go through our mind. Well, maybe we just need to pack it down for the season. Everybody's going to cancel anyway. And plus, I'm tired. I've had 2 years of COVID. I've dealt with Hurricane Dorian. And what's the point? There's only a month left. Who cares? And it would have been quite easy to crawl in the hole that day. But you know, then I just began to say, I walked up around back and it's like, wow, it's all clear up here. There's no trees. Okay, we're not too bad, right? Sometimes you got to walk around your life a little, right? And realize things aren't as bad as you think they are. And then I came back to the yard and I said, okay, we're going to start with one tree. One, maybe just part of that tree. And we started cutting that. And we started trimming this. And we started piling this up. And you kind of look and say, okay. Then this one guy that was just a customer. The guy wasn't a believer or anything. He was just a customer that stayed with me 2 months earlier, phones me. And he says, "I got a chainsaw, Dwight. I'm coming over for a couple hours." I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. You don't have to ask me if I need help, by the way, okay? Just don't even ask. Just come, okay? Because if you ask, I'll tell you, right? Just show up. We'll find you something to do. And it was like, okay. A couple days later, a couple of Christian brothers show up, phone me and said, "Okay, we're coming out for a couple hours." I'm like, okay, come on out. And, you know, little by little, piece by piece, no sense of when the power is going to be on. Phones driving us crazy. Oh, I don't know if I should come. Maybe I should cancel. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. It's like I don't care what you do. I gotta go clean my yard up. I don't know what you're, you know. And this went on for 5 days. We had no power. Then some of the power came on. But Mom and Dad's house and a bunch of the cottages still had no power. And, you know, I can honestly say, after working every day for 5 months, being almost full for 100 straight nights with 90 to 100 people, and then finally having our first two quiet nights and then the hurricane hit, there wasn't much gas left in the tank. I'm going to tell you, there was very little gas left in the tank, right? But you can only do one thing at a time, right? And I remember when our lives were in crisis mode years ago with health issues that were just piling up left, right, and center and decisions that have to be made. And I would call Gary Stairs, actually, and I'd talk to him and he'd say, "Dwight," he said, "just deal with one thing on your plate at a time." We forget that, don't we? We let the multiplicity of problems just pile upon us. And you know what? We get overwhelmed and we want to quit. It says here in Hebrews 12, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." We need to what? Consider him so that you do not grow weary or faint
in your minds. Don't grow weary. Don't grow faint-hearted. Because we can't quit. We can't quit. And in due season, it says, you shall reap if you faint not. And you know what? Day 12 came finally. They turned that power switch back on. Maritime Electric calls me and says, we have eight cottages. I need eight cottages, and I need them tonight. I'm like, whoa. And then another call another day. Next day, she says, I need five more. And then someone else called me, and someone else called me. And the next thing I know, I was full in October when I'm never filled. And I'm like, Lord, I just lost a whole lot of money, and now you're just bringing it back. Now, it doesn't always work that way, right? That doesn't always turn out that way. But the point is, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. We have to plod on. There is times when that's all we can do is plod on. When your heart is broken from a rejection, you have to plod on. There is someone else out there for you. When you're sick and you're tired and you don't feel like getting out of bed in the morning, you've got to plod on and keep moving. When you want to quit doing the Lord's service, you just got to keep showing up and keep going and keep doing. When you hate your job and there's no other job to do and it's paying the bills, what do? You keep going and keep doing it, don't you? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we're just thankful for your word. We thank you for your strength to carry on, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. And we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we just thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. We thank you for the support of your people. We thank you for just the great hope that we have. The great hope that we have that there is coming a day, could be tonight, Father, when we will be ushered into your very presence and all of these things which are so temporal will mean nothing. And we will be in your very presence. So, Father, we pray for Josh now as he shares what you're doing in their lives, Father, in BC. And we just pray that you would just bless our brother in his time here. In Jesus' name, amen.